prayed for the Ghana team. I specifically remember praying that they would go from the south to the north, and they did it. It averages 12 hours to get there these days. They were amazing. They did it in 26 hours. They're awesome. What a team. They're just amazing. So, you know, you always got to love it. You know, it's called the double portion. So, you know, it's more than double. It's like twice 12 plus a couple. So, well, before we release the kids, we wanted to kind of let the kids know what's happening in Ghana. Ashley, wherever she just disappeared to, has the pictures on the computer to show from Ghana. And then there was one other thing. Yeah, good morning, Gabriel. Hi. So Jamie is going to share a little bit about Ghana for us. But yeah, the pictures should be ready to go up. But they're doing well. Pastor Bill is in the Upper East now, and Pastor Mary Pat and the rest of the team are in the Upper West after their short drive. They beat our classic drive of 24 hours, although I heard last year or the year before, they actually ended up just having to stop and stay in a hotel overnight, so I guess it kind of wins, but we're talking about continuous time on the road. 26 hours beats our 2004 record, or 2003 record of 24. So, what's that? And I was part of the driving. Yeah, I was driving and it still took 24 hours. So, those who've ridden with me know that means something. The roads were so bad. Oh, okay, having technical delays. Well, I heard that we're all here. So, while we're having technical delays, I'm actually sharing this morning. So, and I love it when people are like Mel Tari and they just come to the front. So can everyone come to the front, like four rows or so, four or five rows, just come up. It'll really bless me to have us in a nice, compact group. All these kids are leaving, so these front row seats will be open in just a couple minutes. But this front row is still open, in case you're wondering. But maybe you could go over the written updates while they're working on the picture ones.
So our team arrived safely in Ghana. And on Wednesday when they arrived, Pastor Bill and the team split up to preach at different branches of Life Christian Center. And that is the church that Pastor Samuel Guacapone and Mama Vera Guacapone are overseas friends, longtime friends and contacts that we minister with and partner with in the north with our Kingdom Bible School and also in the south. So this is Life Christian Center that they are connecting with. The rest of the team went to the main branch in Amasaman. And this was Rachel's first trip back to Ghana in 10 years, actually. And she shared a word that hit home about God's faithfulness throughout our lives and his promises toward us. Carly shared some things, Rick, my dad, my mom, and so that was pretty amazing. And then there was some outreach that they did on Thursday afternoon when the team headed out to the streets. And as they went, Kim, my mom, Kim, it's weird calling her Kim, and Carly were able to pray with a Muslim woman who was healed of waist and thigh pain. While this was happening, they were told that there was a young mother in a nearby house who had been in a car accident. So when they entered the tiny house, they met Theodora, who had been lying on a couch. And as they prayed for her, for her total healing, particularly in her neck, Theodora explained that she was receiving God's healing touch and felt 70% better. Following them to the door, they declared that they were sent by God over the ocean to come and pray for her. So she was visibly encouraged, and she was able to, or they went on to explain that the accident was not from the Lord. Out of 24 people, she had been the only one to survive this accident, apparently. And she'd been in a coma for 4 days. So as they left her with an encouraging script, she bent over with ease to write the quotation in the sand. And so they're hoping to see her again. So that night they had, more, let me open this up where you guys are. Okay, awesome. Look at that. That's my mom, Kim Rogers, her first time overseas ever on a mission trip. And then there's Brenda, which was her first time to Ghana. So let's pull this up. Starting with the first. Oh, you're going really fast. Do you want me to go back over the other ones with Pastor Bill? Pastor Bill and Mama Vera are happy to be reunited. All smiles with Justin. Brenda sharing. Where are we? Okay. Oh. Wow, this trip is going fast. Okay. Upon the teams, Pastor Bill and Mama Vera are happy. As you can see, they're in Ghana once again. Let's move on to the next one. Justin is smiling. This is Custodia, their beautiful, beautiful daughter, whom we've seen so much healing and restoration in her life, and particularly in her mind. And she shows off her new earrings that the team brought for her, and she really, really likes them, it looks like. This is Brenda sharing at Pastor Samuel's Amasaman branch of Life Christian Center. And then the next one is, during street ministry, Rachel got to pray for and bless the street vendor. It's the upside, inside out kingdom. Carly giving an encouraging word to this young Christian man about fearlessly sharing God with others. So discipling believers to boldly share God's word. Yes, Lord. Street girls selling fruit and yams to help support their family. So this is just the life of being in Ghana and seeing the people. This is my mom, Kim, praying for woman's body pain to leave. After the prayer, she said she felt better. Yes, Jesus. He sees and he knows. Thank you, Lord. A month ago, we shared. This is the woman that got in the car accident. Okay? So she was 71% better. Thank you, Lord, for more for her. In Jesus' name, for Theodora, do it, Jesus. A sign and a wonder. And the next one is, this is a prayer meeting where they're calling heaven down to earth. This is something they do. We all do. I love this next picture, by the way. This is the email they sent out this week asking for prayer covering. And so this was their journey to the north. And if you can't see, but at the very top it says, the future is exciting. Ready? So I love that. I think that that's a prophetic word, not only for them, but for us too. So take it for yourself personally, and God is good. Okay, the next one. While the van was being repaired, Rick ministered to a man at the mechanic shop. So, yes, Lord. Stopping for the one. Here they are. Oh, this is fun. They're preparing breakfast for the guests who arrived early at Kingdom Bible School. That looks like porridge to me, which I believe. So they just have that fire there with the big pot. It's so much fun. They're such a blessing to us. Pastor Samuel serving the youth. So we have young ones coming to the Kingdom Bible School. Rick passionately expressing the Father's heart. Yeah. And here's Rachel sharing with the Kingdom Bible School attendees that as they draw near to God, he will draw near to them. Love that scripture. Last year, we prayed for our friend Jeanette, that the goiter on her neck would disappear. She surrendered her whole life to the Lordship of Jesus. She renounced past connections with witchcraft, which is what they call juju over there, and other strongholds, and received deep healing and deliverance. Yes, Lord. More Jesus. Thank you, Father. So she's at this Kingdom Bible School this week. How many of you believe that this will be completely gone by the end of the week? I don't think that's her. We were overjoyed when we saw her. Oh, that was from last year? So this is this year. Okay, yes, Lord. We were overjoyed when, you guys, did you see that? Go to the picture before that. Look at this, guys. This is amazing. Okay, now go to the next one. Okay, so the next one is, we were overjoyed when we saw her tonight and the goiter she had for 13 years was completely gone. She said that without medication or surgery, Jesus completely set her free. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, so we're getting a good picture of this. Oh, my goodness. Lord, have mercy. And then look at this next one. Oh, my gosh, completely gone. Guys, we see this. We see this here in the United States. We see this overseas. God is able. He is able. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my gosh, that excites me. Okay, you guys ready to go to Ghana next year? Or on a mission trip? Or to your neighbors? Okay, next one. The next one is Pastor Bill. So Pastor Bill went to the Upper East. He's not with the team physically, but he is with our beloved friend and Pastor Abraham. Pastor Bill in the Upper East teaching nursing students about pressing into the heart of Jesus. So cool. Look at this. This is the privilege that he has to speak to these people. Okay, and the next one is he's teaching the students about the gentlewoman with the demonized daughter. Amazing. And the next one is Kingdom Life Chapel Sunday morning, preaching with joy on the 10 lepers, only one of which returned to give glory to God. So amazing. Thank you, Father. Let's just lift them up. Father, we just thank you for the Ghana team, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we are one in spirit, Lord, and though we're physically not together, we are one in spirit, Father. So we just say yes and amen to all of your promises, Lord, that you are unwrapping to this team on this trip, Father, that you would bless them abundantly above and beyond anything they could ask or imagine, that the ones that they meet, the ones that they look into their eyes and with Jesus in their eyes, God, that alone would just penetrate them, Father, with your kingdom, with your goodness, with your mercy, with your love, Father. Keep doing it. Keep touching the ones that they step out and minister to. Father, I thank you for this discipleship that is taking place, Lord. Father, that the Christians that are coming to the Kingdom Bible School, their hearts are being closely knitted to yours, even more so, Father, that the word is being grounded within them, Father, that their foundations are becoming more solid than before, Father, and that the bold witness on the inside of them would just explode into the communities around them, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, just quickly before we release the kids, and before Troy comes up to share, I just want to draw your attention to our gift of Christmas, which is coming up on December 2nd. So Amanda Bridenstine is heading that up. If you have any specific questions about that, you can see her. But there's some flyers right here that you can take to people, take to family members, take to friends, coworkers. And it kind of gives just a little bit of a brief description of what we do here. And then you can obviously be a voice for the many, many great things that we've seen and that we expect to happen. So if you're not familiar with Gift of Christmas, this is something we've been doing since 2005, I believe, where it's an outreach to the homeless shelters in our area, in Canton and in Maslin. And so what we do is we bring them in and we take them shopping. We give them money to go shopping for Christmas gifts, for necessities, personal necessities that they may not have or have access to money to get for themselves, so that they're able to bless themselves, bless others. And then we come back here for gift wrapping if they have presents to wrap. We have a beautiful Christmas dinner that we have as well. We have kids programs where the kids are released and the parents get to enjoy the meal, get to enjoy wrapping. There's a donation room that we have that we have lots of clothes and children's clothes and shoes, things that practical, meeting the practical needs of people that are in need. And so we meet that physically, but then also in the evening we hold a program where we have some really cool dances and dramas and a message of hope, and we meet their spiritual needs as well. And we've seen God do such amazing things with people that are so hungry for something. They don't have anything. They're searching for it. They might feel alone. They might feel desperate. They feel that they're in despair. And this is such a beautiful day where they meet Jesus, maybe for the first time, or their hope is renewed. And this is what the kingdom of God is all about. And so we get to be his hands and his feet. So I have a sign-up sheet that I'm going to pass around. If you could sign up. And then I also have, I'm going to just start with, I think, yeah, Lauren's already signed it. But if anybody has not signed it, go ahead and put your name down and your email. And then I also have a sign-up sheet for prayer covering for our Ghana team. That's something that we didn't set up before they left. But if you would have gotten an email with a spreadsheet. If you were unable to sign up on the spreadsheet for some reason, we have an actual calendar here. We would really love for there to be two people for each day. And today is the 12th, so we have all of us here praying. but we need to fill this up for our team to cover them and fast for them. So I'm going to also start over here with Lindsay. And I don't have a pen. I thought I did, but maybe just grab one and you can get it back in the end. But just sign up for that. And then if you're wondering about what's coming up this Christmas, a lot of fun events that we have going on. Gift of Christmas, Christmas cookie outreach on December 17th with our very first FMI family Christmas party at the Larsons afterwards. We have a really cool first-time production of The Greatest Gift of All, which Kids stand up, turn around, and just wave at them. Say, that's me, that's me. This is really cool. they're going to be sharing with us and some adults just about the real meaning of Christmas, not just for performance, not just for production, but to really draw people into why we celebrate Christmas. So there's flyers on the back. Please take them around, hang them up, give them to people. This is an outreach, too. We consider it an outreach. And then I think there are also flyers in the back for Gift of Christmas. So, amen. And the kids.
And before we release the kids, can you turn off the recording for 1 second, Teresa? Is that possible? Levi. Let me give you a snack. Here, for Isaac, too. Okay. All right. So, sure, not my pulpit, but I will take the pulpit for the moment. Definitely not mine. So, all right, get out of here, sit down. All right, we can have recording back on if it's not. Okay, good. So, thank you guys for coming to the front and sitting with us. I do have my helper who has volunteered by sitting next to it, Andy. If you could pass that around, and everyone needs a pen and two pieces of paper. So Andy's going to pass that around for you. And lo and behold, I brought out my ancient, wonderful Bible that I love. So it's going to be good. And we brought the heater protector here. We'll just put that back. Just needed the pulpit. We'll just set that there and put it back later. So everyone should get two pieces of paper. How many is that?
Two.
Just like my kids. We can figure it out. So I've committed to not going any longer than Pastor Mary Pat went this morning in Ghana. So I have committed that to my before the Lord. I will do my best to do that. Actually, I don't think it was a part of the updates, but I did have a quick little snippet from my wife about this morning that I don't think was in there, but apparently Pastor Mary Pat had a powerful message that ended in kind of like a salvation consecration sort of prayer, and that they went through, and then also a number of people testified of being healed and stuff as team members prayed for them. So there's even more healing going on. I know that Rachel said they shared last night for the first time with the people that had come, because people literally come from all over this region up where we're at, and they said there were more there before the team even got there. They said there were more there than there were last year, and last year there were about 400 people, so there's a lot of people that come. I think our structure up there's got to be too small for what they're doing. It's just, you know, it's an open-air church building, as in no walls, just a roof. To block, and there's a tree that's wonderful. You can help get in the shade from that. But she was saying that even as they were just speaking that first night, that there were a number of people that were going through some deliverance and some healing specifically. And so I was really asking specifically to pray, you know, for these the people that have come, that not only would they, you know, learn more, you know, scripturally and doctrinally and everything that way, but that there'd be freedom that's really released through this week of just a lot of personal freedom. You know, as they shared, there's a lot of witchcraft up there, many of you know, but they're asking specifically to really pray for just, you know, yokes, anywhere the enemy has bound people, that that be broken off. And so some of that's from when they were kids and things their parents did, some of it's their own things they participated in, and some's just from where they're living, but just that they'd be able to step in that freedom and grow to a point that they'll be able to release that out from there. So does everyone have their two pieces of paper? Yes, no, maybe. So there are two questions. So on the one side, you know, on the one paper, I'd like you to write down, we're going to take about 5 minutes, so you get to, maybe if you want to put music on back there, because it's 5 minutes is going to seem like forever in the silence, or at least it will to me. I'll put a timer so I don't go forever. But I really want you to take 5 minutes. Oh, not my calculator. It's not going to help us right now. You know, I really want to take a few minutes to just write down
some of the things that you know that God has spoken to you as just a vision for your life or kind of like a calling, things that God's really spoken to you. These aren't going to be shared, so you can be as honest as you want. So on the one paper, I want you to just write down just things that you know God has spoken to you, and maybe some of that's, you know, that can be everything from career to aspects of ministry, aspects of life, things that you know that God's spoken to you specifically. That's on one paper. Or like your dreams with God in those areas. God, this is a dream of my heart. And then on the second paper, and this is not going to be shared again, I want you to just write down things that, you know, ask the Lord for anything that may be hindering you from stepping towards those dreams and those visions or fulfilling that calling that the Lord's given you. So we're going to take about 5 minutes just to write that down, because I want you to really ask the Lord these two things. So one is going to be things that the Lord has spoken to you, and maybe you don't even know what some of those things are, but just ask him, Lord, how do you see me? You know, how do you see me? What do you see in me? What are things that you've put in my heart? And the second thing, you know, ask him, Lord, is there anything that's hindering that in my life? And again, you're not going to be sharing these, I promise. I will not read it aloud from the front or at all.
took the sin of the world on your shoulders. You did it so willingly. God, the price you paid will forever be enough.
How's that coming? You guys... I know it's kind of a fun way to start off, like, what's your life plan, and right now, in 5 minutes, and you weren't thinking about it. No, but, you know, what's the Lord been speaking to you? I wanted to look in Nehemiah today a little bit, and as I was looking in Nehemiah, I remembered that this amazing man of God who, you know, shared a message about a year ago, actually a year ago next week. That would be Mr. Lawrence there. And I listened to it last night because I was remembering it, and just I'd encourage you, it's actually on the website if you go to podcasts and stuff and put up guest speakers, apparently. You're a guest speaker. Welcome. Yes. I'm glad you happen to be here again, guest speaker. But it was a really good message on Nehemiah, but I just want to touch on a few parts about Nehemiah, not quite the same things he was touching on. You know, we kind of know the story of Nehemiah. It's where Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer, and he's there's captives come back from Jerusalem, and they give him the update on what's happening in Jerusalem. And the update is, it ain't good. It's bad. Everything's in ruins. We're under reproach. Like, nothing good. And, you know, rather than just saying, oh, that's horrible. Man, that's just no good, very bad, you know, it actually just breaks his heart, because he's so in love with the Lord and so in love with, you know, the people of God, and he wants to see things change. So it says that when he heard it, that he sat down and he wept and he mourned for many days, and he was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. In verse 4, so that's chapter 1, verse 4. And then he just goes through this whole prayer of just saying, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. And he just keeps going on saying, petitioning the Lord and saying, Lord, come in here, do something, Father, have your way. And he, you know, down in verse 10 again, he says, now these are your servants and your people whom you, God, have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. I mean, you know, they talk about sentences and about, you know, repeating things. And, you know, there was, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in just this one short little part here, that it says, your power, your hand, your power, you have redeemed your people, your servants. You know, and he's just really reminding God, and it says in Isaiah 43, you know, state your case, petition the Lord, state your case that you may be acquitted. And you know, put him in remembrance of his word. And he's saying, Lord, these are your promises, your covenant. And right before that, he said, you said that if we turn away from you, then you're going to let us get taken off into captivity. But then it says, you said, Lord, that if we repented, if we turned back to you, that you would bring us out and that you would, you know, make your name great, that there would be a dwelling for your name. And so, you know, one of the things I love about Nehemiah is he wasn't just, didn't hear something, didn't just get, kind of say, oh, that's horrible, that's bad, you know, terrible. ISIS, you know, 1040 window, you know, all these things going on. But he actually, it moved him to do something. It moved him first to go to the Lord. Moved him first to, you know, to fast and pray and weep before the Lord. But as we go through the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 2, verse 17, just kind of skipping through a little bit, he's already in Jerusalem now. The king's given him favor. It's really an Esther situation where his life was on the line for him to put this petition before the king and say, hey, I'm sad because my people and the walls and the graves of my family, it's just broken down. And he was such a trusted person with the king that the king said, okay, you know, go and do what you need. And he just kept saying, oh, and give me a letter so I can have all the timber I need and that I have all the favor I need and all the finances. And he just kind of kept going for that and the favor the Lord gave him. The king could have just said, get out of my presence. I never want to see you. I'm, you know, off with your head, because you're not supposed to bring work. You're not supposed to bring home to work. You ever heard that, any of you in the work world? Like, you ever had someone come to you and say, hey, don't bring, you know, your personal life, your home life, don't bring that to work. You know, how many people have ever heard that or said that? I've said it. I have said it a few times, like, I'm really sorry about what's happening at home, but can we, like, talk about this whenever you're off the clock? Because it's affecting your work, and it's not good. It's not helping us here. So you guys, for those of you who are young enough who haven't heard that, you know, it is, it's a thing you'll find, you know, it's a very good, helpful thing that, you know, to not bring your home life, unless that's being filled up with the Lord. We should always, the Lord should be our foundation in our work, wherever we're at. That's, he's first. But don't bring, the rule in the kingdom was don't bring home to work. And if you do, off with your head. And yet, he was so moved by the Lord and by, you know, his heart for what got, what was happening there, that he's like, I don't care if I die. I'm going to allow him to see that I'm truly sad here and do something I'm not supposed to do. So he didn't get fired. He got promoted. He became the governor of Jerusalem like a couple times. He traveled there, did all this amazing stuff. But in chapter 2, verse 17, he says to him partway through, he says, come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. And, you know, many of us were here for Relentless Pursuit, which was the conference we had about 3 weeks ago. And we were challenged by all the speakers, you know, to relentlessly pursue the Lord, you know, relentlessly. What does that mean? What does it look like? And we're just called to go out there. And what did Mel prophesy over really the whole body? He said that God would do far more abundantly beyond. All right, one more time, just for Mel. Okay, it's far more abundantly beyond. And that's out of Ephesians 3:20, where God says he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. And so Mel released that word about over people and, you know, went around, went up and said, Michelle, Joe, you know, you got the baby there, you know, you got the jobs, whatever, congratulations, you know. And, you know, that God would do far more abundantly beyond. Actually, it was far more abundantly beyond, as I recall the motion. And so, you know, we're 3 weeks out from that or so, and the question is, okay, what are we doing with that? Well, Michelle's growing a baby, so well done, good job. Growing the baby, good job. I'm not saying anything, you know, the baby's growing, they do that. But, you know, far more abundantly beyond. And it was just on my heart as I was praying about today, is that, you know, these declarations of faith, yes, they're a declaration of faith, but then there's also this aspect where, just like Nehemiah, where God tells us, this is where the rubber meets the road. Let's, now we need to do it. We need to step out in this. We need to move forward. And so Nehemiah did that. You know, he said, okay, come, let's build. You know, we look back, and I'm just going to bring out a couple instances of this. We look in chapter 4, and it says they were all coming, and they were conspiring to bring confusion. And he says in chapter 4, verse 9, he says, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, set a watch against them day and night. And one of the things I love about Nehemiah is he's always turning back to the Lord first, but he doesn't leave it there. He said, we turn to the Lord, and we set a watch. Some people turn to the Lord, some don't turn to the Lord, some try to set a watch. The key is we go to the Lord first, but then take action on what he's showing us. There's intelligence that they want to come kill you and destroy you. So they didn't just go and pray and just do nothing. You know, they didn't just do that, but they combined the words and with action. And so there's some other good instances of that in the Bible. So there's, you know, a lot of times there's spiritual and natural steps that have to be taken. So back in 2009, I'm doing surgery at Sunland Veterinary Clinic in Navarre. And, you know, back in those days at Sunlands, they would actually put newspapers down on the surgery table. Don't get freaked out about that. But newspapers are actually bacteriostatic, so, you know, the ink kills things and the acidity and stuff like that. But anyways, that's what they did. And so I was waiting. I had some cats, as I recalled, sedated, and I was just waiting for them to get sleepy. And I spread out a paper on the table, and I look down, and I see that this veterinarian had opened up a clinic in North Canton. The Veterinary Wellness Center of North Canton, grand opening, you know, low-cost alternative to blah, 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 blah. And I just start reading this article. I know the veterinarian. I know he's a Christian. And I've met him a few times, off and on. But And I'd actually connected him through a unique set of circumstances 10 years before, yeah, about 6 or 7 years before that, I connected him to a group that he worked with, like a low-cost, subsidized kind of situation up in Cuyahoga Falls, and which is then what led him to start this vet clinic back in North Canton 6 years after that. So I'd actually been a part of this process, but I'm reading this article. I get about halfway through, and I hear the words in my head. I just hear the Lord say, "You're going to own that." And I was like, "What? I mean, I'm about to do surgery here. We're skipping the country, you know, going overseas and stuff, and doing missions and wife." And at that time, we had just had Isaac, so Isaac was a newborn, and Isaac is a newborn. Now he's 4.5 feet tall. It's like, wow. So I heard that from the Lord, and basically I told Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, and I told my parents, and I think I told Rachel's parents, and that was it at that time. I don't think I told anyone else in particular, maybe one other person, and I just kind of sat on it. And it's like, okay, that was interesting. Well, let's see if that was a word of the Lord or not. I mean, I'm fine where I'm at, but if you want to do that, Lord. So about 2 years go by from that point, and suddenly we're going to Mozambique. It's the summer of 2011, and we're leaving for Mozambique. It's a Thursday. It's my day off. I'm trying to get things done, get ready to go to Mozambique on, as I recall, it's like Monday or something like that. It was just in a few days away, and I'm driving through Belden Village, and the Lord says, "You need to go to see Dick Weaver. You need to go see this veterinarian." And I'm like, "Lord, I'm kind of busy here. I'm like, okay, whatever." So I call him up, and I was like, "Hey, I'm just in the area, sort of. And I was wondering if you happen to be there and it could drop in." And like, "Oh, sure, come on down." So I went over, and I'd never been in the clinic before. So this isn't like a place I'd ever been. I'd met them outside of, you know, different places, but I'd never actually been in the clinic. So I go in, they gave me a tour, and I'm just saying hi, and they're just sharing what God's been doing to bless them in this clinic and how the Lord's brought that, and actually saying, you know, and actually you were a part of that from this, you know, thing that happened where you connected me to this job in Cuyahoga Falls, blah, blah, blah. So we had a really good time of fellowship, and as I recall, prayed and in his office, and I left and went to Mozambique, and got back on a Sunday from Mozambique, and Dick Weaver had a motorcycle accident, and he'd passed away like the day before we got back. And, you know, the Lord knows all that. The Lord knows that. That's not why things happen, but he told me to come and see them right before. And so, you know, I was able to go to the calling hours that next week, and then was able to, just said, if you need me to help at all, let me know. I can come in, you know, on my day off or whatever if you need, because, you know, his wife was trying to keep the clinic going, and so it didn't just get shut down. "Hi, guys. Have fun. Kingdom kids." All right. Quite a crew. Bless you guys. So there's that 4.5-foot guy that just walked through there. Thanks. That's a while ago. Wow. So it helped out a couple times. And then that was in July, August. And then in November, I got wind from drug reps that just were saying, "Hey, I think there's some people trying to buy the Veterinary Wellness Center that I think, you know, they're trying to buy it and, you know, get Jenny to sell it to them." So I talked to Rachel and whatnot and said, should I go let her know that I'm interested? Because, I mean, the Lord gave me this, spoke to me 2 years ago that I was going to own it, and someone else is going to try to buy it. And Rachel, my wonderful, amazing wife who's in Ghana, she said, "Don't call him. What are you thinking? God is going to do this." I'm like, yeah, that's it. Right. Yeah, good call, honey. Just don't do it. Just trust God. You know, I mean, if you're supposed to have it, you can't get sold unless it's going to come back to you later. So don't do anything. You know, you don't need to meddle with it. I was like, okay. So I'd happened to have some connection before that where it sounded like she was planning to keep it and run it for a while, and just she's going to keep it and run it for years. So I was like, okay, Lord, were you maybe also speaking to me about maybe you want me to step out and, you know, to buy or build a new clinic? Is that, you know, part of what you were actually speaking to me when this all started? And you're going to own that clinic. Maybe it wasn't literally that clinic. I was like, possibly. So I started searching around and trying to kind of just take steps forward, you know, really kind of, you know, like Nehemiah here, trying to say, okay, Lord, I'm praying to you, I'm going to you, Lord, give me wisdom, I'm going to just keep taking, but I'm going to also keep taking steps forward towards the things you have put in my heart. And if you want to adjust me, I'm willing to shift. So I had reached out and was going to maybe look at this other clinic that I'd actually worked in that I found out was on the market, and they kind of did a weird number and sold it out from under me without even me being able to get in there. I was like, oh, that's interesting, and because I was, you know, you have another buyer there, and they won't even let me have a chance to make an offer or do anything. They just, but I think the agent wanted to shift that. And I'm sure, Stephanie, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes things kind of shift or disappear or suddenly, or, you know, the listing agent wants to go a different direction sometimes. So anyways, that was suddenly gone, and I'm like, okay, whatever. And so I'm heading, getting ready to head to Mozambique again, and as I recall, it's a Tuesday night, and I was out in the parking lot here, and I suddenly get a phone call, and it's from Jenny Weaver. And I answer, I'm like, hey, and this is 2012, so this is 3 years after the Lord spoke this to me. I'm like, okay, I'm like, hi, you know, what's up? And she's, you know, saying, how are you doing, all that kind of stuff. She said, you know, I'm going to sell the clinic, and I'd like to know if you'd be interested in buying it. And so she didn't put it on the market. She didn't, you know, she didn't list it with anyone. She called me directly and said, I want to sell the clinic. Will you buy it? And I said I would pray about it. I didn't say, well, you know, 3 years ago, I had this dream that, you know, and so now you got to sell it to me. So even if things look bad or I offer a lower price or whatever, you know, you got to sell it to me. The Lord said, don't say anything. I said, so I came back and said, yeah, you know, I'd like to move forward. And so this is in July of 2012. So literally this deal should have taken months because it wasn't even on the market. There wasn't even agents involved. It took, literally was not going through until the following August. So it took a whole year to make this deal happen, even though we were all, you know, she wanted to sell, I wanted to buy. But then there was just all these complications that by the time all this happens, I find myself in Mozambique the next summer, and many of you know this, and I'm there with a scanner, and I'm, you know, we're at a crusade in one place, and I'm sitting in a plastic chair with a plastic table in front of me with a scanner on the table, and I'm signing loan documents, and I'm scanning them and sending them back to the U.S. from Mozambique. I mean, literally, we're doing that because we're closing 2 weeks after I get back from Africa, and you have to have all these documents together. And so for those of you, who was on that trip? Does anyone remember that? Yeah, that was fun. And so I'm in Africa buying a clinic, you know, that the Lord spoke to me at this point 4 years earlier, you're going to own this clinic. And you know, in that process, again, I had originally thought the Lord said, this is it, but also, Lord, if there's something I'm not hearing right or if you want to adjust, and what it actually, he showed me along that way was that I'm opening you up to the idea of you can do more than just the one thing you're thinking of. Because I think if I just stuck on that and not started exploring and learning more and stuff, and I learned a lot more about the business and about buying things and stuff like that, that it's opened up doors to possibly start into a second location and things like that that I wouldn't have really been thinking about beforehand, except for the fact that because at first it wasn't going as smooth or looking like it was going to happen, you know, I started just keeping moving forward. Okay, Lord, you're speaking that I'm going to have a clinic. What are you doing here? And so often we find that, you know, our faith without works is dead. That's a good word. I think it's in the Bible. It is. But anyway, so that's just a little story from my life of where that's happened. You know, just going through Nehemiah just to touch a few more things. You know, in chapter 4, verse 20, he's saying, hey, whenever you see the sound of the trumpet, rally to me. You know, and God, our God will fight for us. This is where they're spread out all over the city, and they're hearing they're going to come attack you. Well, whenever you hear the trumpet, just run to the trumpet, and we're going to attack. That's where the battle's at. And again, he's saying our God will fight for us. And just recognizing the battles of life and the things going on in your families, friends, work, school, all that kind of stuff, that, you know, our God will fight for us, remembering that truth that Nehemiah knew. And I really encourage you to read through the whole book of Nehemiah. I read through a lot of it yesterday, actually, and it's really good. And again, through that, we keep going back to the Lord, and as our center is on the Lord, you look in chapter 6. And again, I'm giving you snippets, so you really are going to have to read this to get the full background. You're going to love it. But in chapter 6, this secret informant comes in. You know, it's like the Babylonian, you know, secret service kind of deal or whatever, CIA, and comes in and says, hey, Jordan, you know, Nehemiah, they're coming to kill you. That's shocking news, right? They were doing it the whole time. They're coming to kill you. We need to go into the temple, and we're going to hide so they can't kill you. And it says that Nehemiah in chapter 6 here, he says, you know, he's like, why should I go hide? You know, why would I flee? You know, who is there that I would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And he said, then I perceived that God had not sent him at all. So he's coming in saying, oh, the Lord sent me. You know, the Lord sent me secret information from, I have secret sources, you know, Holy Spirit told me. You know, you really want to always take that back to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you really saying? And getting veterinary questions as I'm preaching. It was all morning. It's like this dog that's had puppies recently and shaking, and what can we do? And I'm like, I'm trying to prepare here. So anyways, get the kids ready. So he goes, he says, verse 12, then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin. So he knew that the enemy was, you know, trying to get him to step in a way out of faith, to walk in fear, and he was trying to use the secret informant, you know. I mean, obviously it's someone he trusted. He let him in close enough to give him this information. So it's someone that was on his side, but he knew he was a double agent. So watch out. From the Lord, he knew it. He was a double agent. But, you know, he goes on to say that, finally, in verse 15 of chapter 6, he says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of Elul in 52 days, and it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. So even the enemy, even those who are not walking with the Lord, will perceive when God does something. They're going, when we do the things of God, the impossible things of God, they're going to look and see, well, that either, well, if it's my case, they'll say, you're not that smart. But, you know, they're going to look and see, you know, this was impossible. This couldn't happen. God did this. So like the woman with the goiter that we just saw that picture, and like, do it, Lord, take that away, you know, finish that. And then the next verse, like, oh, he did. And I mean, that was amazing. I mean, could anyone tell the slight difference between that lady's neck where it was like, no, you know, it was one neck. It was a unineck. I don't know, a unihead, appendage. I should just stop. You could take that off the recording if you want. Just take it off. Cut it out. We could stop that again. But anyways, that, you know, I mean, the Lord did that. And so even the world is going to know when God's doing stuff. You know, these crazy things where people are getting off. I mean, Andrea, I think she's teaching, or is she in here? Atzinger? She's teaching. She's a teacher, and many of you who are teachers know that it's incredibly hard to get off during the school year to go on a mission trip. And so it's been in her heart to go to Brazil in January, and so she's been pressing in. And, you know, I've been like, I'm joining with you in faith, but I'm also like, man, that's going to be a, in the natural, I know that's going to be difficult as a teacher to get off. And so she's coming back to me now. We were just talking yesterday, and she said, well, you know, the principal or whoever the guy is, like, he's like, I really want to make this work for you. You need to find your own replacement, though, because you're a music teacher, and I don't want them sitting for 2 weeks. And she's like, I don't want them sitting for 2 weeks with a sub who doesn't, you know, can't do, you know, is not a sub that can do music. So, A, if anyone knows someone who's a substitute teacher that does music, it's not me. No. No solos here, but definitely not me. But if anyone knows someone, Andrea is looking for someone who is a qualified substitute who does music, but that has that ability and is not going to Brazil like your sister is going to Brazil, Aaron. Good idea that Jamie would be a possibility, but she's going to Brazil. So Aaron's back pointing at you, Jamie. Yes. So anyways, but, you know, stepping forward in faith, I mean, that comes through. People are going to look and say, how in the world did she do that in a school year? Her other teachers are going to look and say, how did you do that? Ashley knows. It's not easy to be able to get out of a school day. I mean, like, you sign contracts saying, I will have half a day off during my school year, and that's it. And, I mean, it's, like, not easy. It's very not easy to get out. So stand in faith with her, but, you know, the Lord will look at these things that we've done, and, you know, each one of us, I know you could look and say, wow, this thing God did in my life, people can look and see that was just God. And if it hadn't been this way, and if it hadn't come through, you know, I mean, I couldn't do that, but it's God. God did this. So my clinic was one of those stories. So, when we do the impossible with God, even the world will see. I want to turn over to another stunning example of taking action when we hear the voice of God. If we could turn to Jonah. Wherever he lies, he's farther back than you think. And I think I just passed him. I should have marked him. There he is. After Obadiah and before Nahum. And before Micah. The book of Jonah. So another stellar example. I was kidding about trying to go as long as you can go in Ghana. Ghana tends to have its own time. And while the 5 minutes I gave you, for those of you who are actually timing it, was not five, it was actually longer, I thought that time was well spent. If anyone came in late and didn't get the two pieces of paper, is there anyone that didn't? Andy, can you pass out? And if you have to, there's paper just inside the office. If you have to cut a couple more pieces of paper, and the paper cutter is right there inside the door. But again, just because we're going to do this later, in the back too, Andy, so you have to cut a couple more real quick. Just asked everyone, right after we released the kids, and everyone's like, what? Oh, I'm not showing my papers. These are not going to be shared or shown. Sorry. Take your own paper, and on one of them, those of you who aren't here, one of them you're going to write the dreams that God's given you, or the things he's called you to, like things you specifically know he's called you to. Those of you who are parents, telling you, you're called to be a parent. So that one's pretty safe. If you're a parent, you can put that one on there. But, you know, it can be career, school, it can be family, it can be ministry, things like that. Things that you believe that God's really put on your heart, called you to, and maybe you don't know fully what that's going to look like. Maybe you're still, like, walking that, growing that out like you should be. We all should be growing and increasing. One of the things I do love about Frontline that I do hate about Frontline, hate, that's a strong word. I really find stretching about Frontline, a.k.a. Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, is the fact that they kind of have this weird thing about, like, the Holy Spirit's the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, and the Holy Spirit kind of is, like, he's like the whole pie. And so when you get the Holy Spirit and he lives in you, that means you have the whole Holy Spirit inside of you. Because so many other places, so much easier, they just say you have a little piece. And you can just take your little piece and you find your area you're good at or you really like doing, and you can just say, that's my area, I got my piece. And one of the things I love, because I know it's good and true, is that they don't really take that as an answer. They pretty much say, well, yes, you may have giftings and abilities and whatever here, and yes, God will use you in those ways specifically more often than not. But beyond that, you're going to get in situations where if you need a word of knowledge and that's really not your thing, get a word of knowledge, because you have the same Holy Spirit. It's like the gifts of the Spirit and stuff that God's able to stretch us beyond our normal things that we do, our normal, you know, way that we like to interact and stuff. Sherry's going to Brazil for the first time this year. And I, woohoo! And actually, I think is it your first mission trip, international mission trip, or not? Yeah, first international mission trip. So she's jumping out. And I guarantee her right now, I promise her, she will be asked to do things that she would not think are on her radar, that she would not think are her giftings, her ability, or anything. And what I love about Sherry is she's really been jumping in. Like last year, she almost jumped in like right before the trip and felt like it wasn't quite the timing. So excited about this timing for January. It's one of the things I love about this ministry and about the Gokies especially is as teachers, they know you can do things that you don't think you can do. And, you know, Pastor Bill's fifth graders and Pastor Mary Pat's high schoolers when she was a teacher, you know, there are things that we can do, we just don't know that we can do them because we've never done them. And, you know, if anyone like me had taken the spiritual gifts inventory test, has anyone done that in the past? Unfortunately. I want to tell you that, you know, on that test, I absolutely did not speak in tongues. I did not have words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I did not move in any kind of healing. I was a leader, and I was a hospitality kind of person. And if I had stuck with those things, I would have missed out on so much that God has. So I'm not that there isn't a place for seeing some areas of strength, but a lot of those tests, what they're doing is they're saying, what have you done in the past? And then we just stick in the past, and that's who I am, that's how I relate, that's what I do, and that's... And if I had stuck in the past, I really would have missed out on so many fun and cool things. If I had stuck in my own personality, I would have missed out on all that being silent and waiting on the Lord and soaking stuff. That it just naturally comes to me easily to just sit there and lay before the Lord and do nothing but say, Lord, here I am, speak to me. So there's a plug for those of you who are more like me that would rather be doing than... This is a word about doing, but for those of you who are already doing, it's also about being. So you get the being part of the word. I got the being part of the word. The doing part of the word tends to be easier for me. So anyways, the dreams of God has given you and put in your heart, or things that you desire to see released. And then the other page is actually asking the Lord, and just, you know, as we're here, they had 5 minutes. You can just kind of, as the Lord brings some, if the Lord brings your heart, anything that would hinder you from stepping into those things, or anything that you feel is hindering you in your walk with the Lord, your growth in the Lord. Yes. So Jonah, I think I made that pretty clear about the, how many people, you know, I'll let you raise your hands, have ever been on a frontline mission trip or even a international or a local outreach and been asked to do something and done something that you would not have done had you not been asked to do that and expected to do that, even though you would not have done that and you actually didn't volunteer really, but by being there you volunteered. How many would that be? I think that'd be about every hand present who's, you know, and some would say that would be like all day long in Mozambique. So that's a plug for Mozambique. It's great. So that was an extra. That wasn't even something I was going to share. That was an extra for all of us to know that you can do far more abundantly beyond. So that's part of that far more abundantly beyond. Jonah. So Jonah gets the word of the Lord. Nehemiah got a word of the Lord. Jonah got the word of the Lord. He got the interpretation. He knew what God was going to do, and he ran. It's really interesting. It shows kind of, I mean, he was a man of God. And he got the word of the Lord, and he did the opposite of what God said because he wanted the opposite response of what God wanted. Because God said, I'm going to destroy Nineveh, go tell him. And it even says at the end of Jonah that Jonah knew that if he told them, then they'd repent and God wouldn't destroy them. So he's like, I want them destroyed, I don't like them, I'm leaving, I'm going far away. I mean, it's literally, you look in this, and you're like, oh my goodness, you're a man of God, you hear the voice of God. I mean, he's a true prophet. There's some other place in here. I think in 2 Kings, I have this. I didn't even read it, so I probably shouldn't do this. But in 2 Kings 14, 25, I think it even calls him a true prophet. He restored the territory of Israel from the trans, whatever, according to the word of the Lord of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath Hepher. So he's a true prophet, gets the word of the Lord, obeys the Lord, not, runs away. You know, we all know the story of Jonah, runs away, you know, gets on the ship, goes to Tarshish, and big storm, and they throw the lot, and it falls on him. I mean, God even speaks through, like, the lot, so they know who's responsible for this ship, like, falling apart in these waves. I mean, even the unbelievers, you know, they're all like, call out to your gods, whoever you have, and what's Jonah while this huge storm's going on? He's sleeping in the boat. They had to wake him up. He was so closed off to listening to the voice of God that God was speaking with all of heaven and earth, letting everyone know that something is going on. God is unhappy. The God or gods or whatever, they didn't know. But he was sleeping through it because he had so hardened his heart to the Lord. And I mean, that's something to spend more time on your own. So read Jonah too. I did as well. It was really good. So they finally they throw the lot. They figure out it's Jonah. He's like, I've disobeyed the Lord. He told me to do this, and I didn't listen. And so what should we do? And he's like, throw me in the ocean, and then you'll be fine. And he tells them what to do. He tells them how to be fine, and they're still like, we're not doing that. And they just keep trying to row to shore and not do what Jonah said has to be done. And it says they couldn't because the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Finally, they cry out to the Lord and said, Lord, please don't let us perish for this man's life, you know, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. So they picked him up, threw him in, and, you know, and they saw that, you know, this great fish swallows him up, and immediately it's like calm. So this is kind of, you know, this is the Old Testament picture. You know, you got Jonah sleeping in the boat disobeying God. You've got Jesus sleeping in the boat in the will of God in the New Testament. Like, read those two passages and look at them. I think you'll find an interesting opposite correlation between these two things. Both were sleeping. You want to be sleeping in the peaceful Jesus sleeping, not in the hardened heart Jonah sleeping. But it's interesting. It said they tried to go against it. Even them, they were heathens. They didn't know the Lord. They weren't, you know, God, Jehovah was not their God. But they still feared him, and they said, we don't want your innocent blood against us for throwing you overseas. Don't hold it against us. And it says that they feared the Lord exceedingly to the point they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they took vows. I wonder what those vows looked like. You know, I don't know if that was on the ship kissing the ground or if that was, you know, then, and then they get on land and they're like, I'm never traveling on a boat again. And, you know, I will obey Jehovah no matter what. I don't know who he is, but I've just now come to discover he really is in charge. But, you know, just interesting. Again, the world sees when God's moving, and they step back and they're like, wow, you're God. And you saw that with Daniel, with King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, how, I'm blanking. Oh, how Nebuchadnezzar stood up against and said, you know, look at me, I'm basically said, I'm God, look at how awesome I am, and God made him go eat grass for 7 years, I think it was, 5 to 7 years, and then he finally repents and says, wow, you are God. Or when Daniel interprets the dream, and he's like, you know, the lion's den deal, and he's like, wow, your God really is God. You know, the world sees when God does his amazing things. And for those who are Relentless Pursuit, when Mel Tari was sharing about the pastor from Madagascar who got kicked out of a village, wasn't allowed to go back, and someone died, and, you know, they called and said, can you come and pray for him that he'd be resurrected? Come pray for my husband. And he's like, I can't come back to your village. They're going to kill me. He's like, just put the phone up to their ear. And as they prayed over the phone, the husband comes back to life, and then, you know, goes back to the medical doctor, who's the guy who said, don't come back or we'll get rid of you. And he, you know, invites him back and accepts the Lord and all this stuff. More people get resurrected from the dead. It's cool stuff. Don't know why I shared it. So Jonah. That was so cool, though. Were you guys there for that? Yeah. That was really awesome. If not, you should listen to it. Get that disc. But anyway, so Jonah goes, and he does the thing. You know, he goes, and he goes through Nineveh, tells them, repent. You know, first he turns to the Lord and says, forgive me, you know, I surrender, I'll do what you say. Then he gets vomited out of the fish's mouth, and, you know, God says the same thing. Go to Nineveh, tell them this. So he goes to Nineveh, tells them, you know, you're going to be destroyed in 40 days. And Nineveh didn't just get sad, didn't just say, whatever, you don't know what you're talking about. It says they actually began to fast and pray, and the king, you know, says, even the king makes them, you know, declares that all throughout Nineveh, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Verse 10, Jonah was sad. He knew it was going to happen. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. And he's like, Lord, this is why I ran away. I knew that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. So, Lord, kill me. I knew you are gracious, kind, and merciful. You're my God. I'm your prophet. And so I didn't want it to come to these people that I hate. I mean, he wanted them dead. He thought they were not worthwhile. They're so evil. And, you know, just that picture for us, you know, there's people that, you know, we just see that it seems so far from God. And yet, when we're obedient to the voice of the Lord, when he says go, when he says speak, you know, he can touch their hearts and just turn them in a day, he turned them. And Jonah gets all mad, and God puts a plan over him. And again, you have to read it yourself. But in the end, Jonah's upset because this plant that gave him shade is now gone. It died. And he's upset about that. And the Lord says, wow, you are upset about this plant that you didn't do anything to do. I made it grow. I put it over you. I gave you the shade, and then I took it away. But you didn't do anything to make it or do it or anything. He said, how about me? Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? There's 120,000 clueless people, and I sent you to tell them the truth, and much livestock. So there's my plug for veterinary medicine. It's in the Bible. He cares about the livestock, cares about the animals, so do I. So should you. 517 North Main. No, just kidding. go wherever you're going. I'm fine. I just thought it was hilarious. You know, they had to wear sackcloth too, and they got to step into the reward as well. I thought that was pretty amazing to get to step into that blessing. But he said there are 120,000 people who cannot discern between their right hand and their left. They're absolutely clueless, and yet, you know, he says they don't, you know, that though they're not morally innocent, they were helpless to know how to escape their plight before God. Without a prophet, they would remain trapped in their wickedness. You know, the heart of the Father for the lost. I mean, and especially, he's like, they don't have a clue. You know, they're up in northern Ghana, and there's some people out there, they don't have a clue. There's some people in Canton, Ohio, Massillon, Ohio, that they don't have a clue. In our jobs and our workplace, they don't have a clue. And some that think they have a clue, and they're just, it isn't the clue that comes out of the Bible, and it's not Jesus. You know, we have this opportunity to love them and to not be like Jonah, but to be like our good Father who cares so much and looks and says, wow, there's 120,000 and a lot of livestock that I'm going to have to destroy unless they repent. I'm going to give them the opportunity, and when they repent, I'm going to receive that. So, winding around towards down-ish. So jumping into the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verse 21, he says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You know, faith without works is dead. You know, be a doer and not just a hearer. You know, we've got a lot of wonderful impartation that we're receiving that in this body, in this place, and, you know, outside of this body, that the Lord's brought so much revelation to us. And he's calling us to be faithful with those words. You know, I really encourage us, for those who've had different things that, you know, you've written down where God's spoken, you have journals and stuff, and he's spoken things to you, to go back over it and say, Lord, okay, you spoke that. What am I doing with that? How am I stewarding that? Lord, how can I step into that? You know, what's your desire there? And and the Lord, he calls us all to that. At the beginning of this school year, I was going, I think I shared it sometime or other, but I was going to, you know, Jackson High School to help with Impact for one little event to help pass out some pizza and some flyers. And on the way there, I'm like, I think this person should be signed up to go and help. And when I left, the Lord said, hey, what about you? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's nice to sign someone else up for something and hear that. But you want me to? Why, Lord? But it was kind of like, oh, okay, me, huh, what about me? I'm like, huh, well, I could tick everyone off at work, change my schedule around, and it'll all work out. And actually, it's crazy. Like, things had just shifted then, and all this stuff happened, and it just shifted. We were shifting employees and days, and it's just, it is working. And I'm really excited about it because I'm loving being at Jackson High School because there's some great kids there, and just, you know, believe that God wants to, you know, do some incredible things at Jackson. You know, and it's a place that, you know, it's right in our backyard, and there's a lot of hurting people there, and there's a lot of people that really need this revelation about, you know, who Jesus is, about the Father's great love for them, and, you know, and he works at our hearts to do that. So as we're, you know, not just here, is not just saying, yeah, something needs to happen, but Lord, how do you want me to be involved, you know, that I would not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. He just had led me, and this whole thing started actually 3 weeks ago. I had a dream, the Sunday of Relentless Pursuit, and I won't share the whole details of the dream, but basically, you know, I saw these papers, and I saw the Lord, I saw these papers that I was the initiator of, that was going to be about putting things before the Lord, about surrendering our dreams and stuff to the Lord. It was about just submitting to the Lord first in all that we do, submitting our life, submitting our calling, submitting our destiny to him, and allowing him to, you know, lift us up in due time, allowing him to release those things in us, to bring an increase that we would, that's what he'd do. So when I got the text, you know, a week or so ago, saying, hey, do you want to preach on Sunday? I was like, the Lord was so kind. I already had a dream that said I was going. I knew when I had the dream. I just told Rachel, I don't even think I told Rachel about it, actually. I told her I had a dream, and we never had time to tell her the dream. I even wrote it down, and I didn't tell her. It's in my email. I was going to send it to her. I don't think she even knows about it. She knows I had a dream, and that the dream meant that I was going to be preaching, but that's all she knows. So I was able to just say, sure, I can preach on Sunday. You know, I mean, we'll get the kids ready somehow, and we'll do whatever, and, you know, it'll work out. And it did. I mean, here we are. Here you are. And there's papers, and we have papers, so the dream is being fulfilled. But in this dream, I really felt like the Lord had a word he wanted to release here about us submitting to him, really submitting to him. And, you know, we know common familiar verse in James chapter 4. You know, in that chapter he's talking about, you know, you're asking for things, you're not receiving it, but it's because you're asking for the wrong things. And he goes on. And he says in verse James 4:6, if you want to turn there, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And there's this, you know, we know this, these verses, but, you know, there's things that we want to see happen, but, and God's going to bring those about in his time, but we also want to be in a place where those things are submitted to the Lord so that, and they're surrendered to him so he can breathe that life on it as he desires and when he desires, and that actually he biggie sizes our pictures and dreams. So even, you know, the veterinary clinic, he's been expanding that beyond what I was thinking. Even before that, veterinary medicine, I was actually, I don't know if you guys know this, after the first mission trip I went frontline on to Guatemala, some of you would know this, but I literally was, I was going to start vet school that next, in September. And I was like, you know what, I think I just, maybe, I don't know, Lord, should I just quit it all and just go on the mission field and just leave it all? And, you know, and then I was thinking I could go to this language school in Antigua, Guatemala, which is where we'd been, and, you know, there's a language school. I could learn Spanish, be fluent in Spanish, and I'm just going to quit it all. And I haven't even started it, so it's a great time. I have no debt. Right now, I have no debt. No debt. I got it through undergrad. I only did 3 years. I don't have a bachelor's. That's a whole different story, but on how I got into vet school without a bachelor's or anything. But no debt. I could just quit school. Don't go. Don't get in debt there. And I could just go be a missionary. And I was like, I could do this. This would be fun. Like, I'm like, oh, let's do this. Thankfully, I remember that the Lord had actually spoken it to me very clearly. He wanted me to be a veterinarian. And then, you know, where that picture had been kind of like, be a veterinarian, take care of the animals. And then every once, you know, maybe in the summer, every once in a while, go on a short little 8 to 10 day mission trip. And, you know, to like Jamaica or something. Which has a lot of needs. We've done missions there. And, you know, get the house and the white picket fence and the kids, well, the wife, and then the kids and the dog. And, you know, I did have the dog planned. It wasn't going to be a whippet at the time, but, you know, I had that kind of my picture. And it kind of just kept morphing way beyond what I thought, which many of you know that story, and I won't tell it now. But it's just morphed way beyond it. And I look back and I'm like, how did I get here? I mean, I'm like out of the country for 6 to 8 weeks a year, typically. And I still have 4 kids and a wife and a house and the clinic and the veterinary side and the whatever and all this stuff. And just, you know, getting to be, you know, able to see God using me to touch other people's lives and having people touch my life and change me and impact me and help me be more like the Lord. So much more than I had ever dreamed of. And, you know, I think he wants us to think like that. He wants us to realize that he can do far more exceedingly abundantly beyond. You know, it's far more. Lord, biggie size my dreams. Biggie size, you know, let me see your vision, which is still going to just be this big compared to what he's really wanting to release for all of us. You know, there's dimensions in the spirit he wants to open up. There's doorways in the spirit he wants to open up. And this is a key recipe right here. You know, God opposes the proud. And he goes on and says he resists the proud. And then later it tells us to resist the devil. You know, all that pride comes from the devil. It comes from our own flesh, the devil in the flesh. You know, we can't blame it all on him. It's us too. It's our own sin nature. But, you know, as we submit that to Christ, you know, he says that we can draw near to him. There's a process. Submit, resist, draw near to God. And he comes near to us. He says, wash your hands, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. Don't be double-minded. You know, humble ourselves and let him lift us up. You know, he'll take care of that in his time, his way. And I forgot that there was a sister passage to this in 1 Peter 5, where again he says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, he says, likewise, you younger people, I'm claiming that. Anyone else claiming that? Likewise, you younger people, all of you. Will, where's your hand? Likewise, you younger people. All right. One of the few people that has more gray hair than me in here, Will, so I'm just trying to, you know, it's in there. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. So submit ourselves to our elders, be submissive to one another, be clothed in humility. And then he says, but God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Lord, let that be a revelation. Let us understand what that means to, you know, recognize God's against those who walk in pride and self-protection and selfish desires, but he gives such grace to the humble. You know, so many times I should have, so many bad things should have happened from my stupidity. But that's where the grace comes in. You know, when we turn to the Lord in those times and we walk in humility, he's able to bring in the grace to get us out of those situations and to bring good out of those situations. Verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Again, sister passage to James. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Lord, let us cast our care. Throw it. You know, if you've got burdens, if you've got anxiety, you know, depression, whatever it is, if any of that stuff's coming against you, just heaviness, he's just saying, cast that care to him. He cares for you. But be sober, verse 8, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have a real enemy. We do. I mean, he's really out to destroy. He's really out to kill. But as we saw there, he's trying to destroy through a goiter on this lady's neck and stuff, and God heals it. He's trying to destroy through this lady who got in this bus accident, and of the 24 people on, she was the only one that lived, and yet having a lot of pain and problems, and yet Jesus is healing it. when the Lord comes in. So verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So that's the, just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean it's all going to be okay. in the end, yes, the Lord is good, but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go hunky-dory. We know that we're living life. But at the same point, when I'm walking through life and death situations, when I'm walking through hard times, he's with me because I know him, and he's mine. And I'm, freshly in those situations saying, Lord, I submit to you. Help me. Help me. If I have to sometimes, help me in my unbelief. But just help me, Lord. whatever I need, Lord, I know it's in you. Help me so that in this time of suffering and with our recent example again, Pastor, whatever his name is, Israel Benjamin, his name. it's so funny. It's always like, he's had like two aliases since we've known him. So I'm like, what's the current name we're calling this guy? Over in, I hope I didn't say it. Did I say where? Oh, good. Southeast Asia. Somewhere over there. At Relentless Pursuit, I said it. So for the recording, I did not say where this person's from. But, the suffering he's gone through, thrown in prison, his wife's pregnant, doesn't see his baby for a year and a half, and that's across a railway station. Wow, I haven't suffered that. Some people are like, how can you leave your kids for a couple weeks? I'm like, Pastor Israel Benjamin, it was like a couple years. His first birthday with her was her fourth. First birthday. I'm like, man, I'm just challenged by that. We look at these things and we just want to, Lord, thank you for how blessed I am. When we're in that attitude of gratitude, it does a lot. He says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that's my prayer for all of us this morning, is that the Lord would perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. That's the prayer that Peter prayed out by the Holy Spirit. That's the desire of the Lord. He wants to perfect us. He wants to establish us so that we're unshakable, we're established in who he is, that we're strengthened, that we have the strength we need, that we're not weak. And yet he says, where we're weak, he's strong, so we aren't weak. And settle us. And a phrase that I'm sure I must have stolen from somewhere, because I doubt that I was this good. The submission always comes before the mission. The submission to the Lord comes before that mission, mission of, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God. We need to submit to him first before that mission is going to be released. So before we go out and, conquer the world and do all that stuff, really in our hearts, every day just saying, Lord, I submit to you. I surrender my thoughts, my ways, my plans, my dreams, my visions, my children, my wife, my husband, whatever, my family to you. Lord, I'm going to submit them to you. And then that's where he releases that mission in our life, where he releases that calling, and where we can walk in the freedom of that. Because it's so freeing when you're walking in the middle of what he wants. It just feels so good. And there's times where we're like, Lord, am I in the middle where you want me? And we go to him like, Lord, I've definitely had those. Lord, am I where you want me? But then as we submit to him, spend time with him, draw near to God, and then we just, you will know that you know that you know. I promise you, he will make that very clear to you if you're walking in what he has for you or if you're not. If you're offline, he's so faithful when we submit to him. Because when we're being humble before him, we're easily able to be turned to the left or the right. Paul, was going to go into one place, and the Holy Spirit said, nope, going to another place, nope, nope. And Paul was submitting to the Lord, wherever you want, I'm going. He just kept starting, I'm going to go here. Nope, can't go there. Well, I'll just go this way. Paul and I would have been good friends, I think. He didn't sit around. He's, okay, we'll go out here, And then the Lord said, no, I gave him a dream and showed him, no, you're going here. And, but he was moving and he was just so open to hearing the Spirit say, go somewhere else. And that's, you know, as we're moving, as we're submitting to him, as we're, you know, first going to him like Nehemiah, but then stepping forward and being that doer of the word, stepping out in what we know and then letting him move us, that's where it just gets a lot of fun and very freeing. Yeah. So I wanted to kind of close with just this idea of, you know, as we submit to the Lord, you know, he's going to release that mission, that calling in our life. And, you know, I had asked, and Jamie was kind enough to do this, and whoever helped her, God bless you, last second. Literally, I think worship was about to start. And just kind of this, to put this chair, which I'm going to call a throne, and just the cross, and just this aspect of us coming before the Lord fresh and new, on your own, and just submitting to him. And, you know, I'm going to give a couple minutes, and if, is Jamie still in here, or did she, yeah, there you are. Jamie, if you want to just get on the keys, if you wouldn't mind, and just whatever the Lord gives you to sing, and worship team, just stay and receive, but just Jamie. I meant to tell you, Jamie, but I didn't. But just going to have a time as Jamie just, you know, worships before the Lord to just, again, look at these two papers. Read over them. If you didn't get a chance to, you know, after hearing what you've heard, to just take and, Lord, speak more to me about this. Is there anything that you're saying where, you know, I haven't been submitting to you first? If there's an area, put that on that second page. And then what I encourage and, you know, just challenge you to do is to come up to the Lord and that page of the things where we haven't been submitting to him, to just come and put in the lovely paper shredder. No one will read it. And if they can, they can't put it together. But just before the Lord, to let him shred those excuses, shred those lies, shred those places of pride or arrogance or whatever it is that the Lord shows, whatever those things are that have been hindering us from really submitting to the Lord fully. But to just come and put that here, and then just asking that those things that you feel God has put on your heart, that I believe God wants to biggie size, he wants to clarify, he wants to show you if even some of those things are really great, but they're not his best. You know, there's a book about that, Good or God. November 30th is the next class for those of you who are in it. But to just, you know, take those things before the Lord now over the next few minutes, you know, as you feel led to come up and to put the one paper and let it be shredded, but to put the one with the dreams and the callings, to just come and lay that before his feet, and just to put that before the symbol of the throne of God, and just the cross, the sign of victory and freedom, where we really stepped into freedom. And whenever, however you want to do it, you're welcome to take your paper back with you, because I do want you to take it with you before you leave. So whether you lay it before him and spend time with him there and then take it right back up, I want you to take that paper to really, you know, before the Lord, put it in your Bible or put it somewhere and just meditate on it in your own times with the Lord and say, Lord, show me, you know, more about these things, but I've submitted them freshly to you. I want to keep that heart of submission, Lord. Keep showing me what you want to do and anything you want to add to that paper. So whether you leave it there for a little bit and come back later and get it, again, no one's going to read them. It's just going to be, so put your name on the outside. You fold it. If you're going to leave it, fold it and put your name on the outside so you can get it, or I'll give it to you later if I see it still up there. But just a time for you with the Lord, an opportunity to just connect with him. And as you need to leave, you're free to leave. I don't think there's really kind of any announcements. So there's nothing particularly there. So as you need to leave, just you're welcome to leave. But if you want to take your papers and as you feel led. Does that make sense, everyone? You're going to put the one, if you want to in the paper shredder of the places when you're saying, Lord, I want you to remove these things in my life that are hindering me from the call you have on my life, whatever that is. And then the other one, at least temporarily laying it before him. But before you leave, take it with you. Or if you leave it, then I will give it to you on Tuesday. So, but I won't read it. So, thank you, Jamie. And again, leave as you need to. Claim your kids as you need to. We'll probably have a more official, like, okay, go get your kids for the sake of the teachers. But take a few minutes with the Lord.
Oh.
is a time, I believe, mainly between you and the Lord. But if anyone needs specific prayer, either right now or later, please, you know, grab myself or, you know, someone else that's, you know, leader in the church to just pray with you specifically. If there's anything you specifically need prayer for in this, but today I believe it's primarily about you connecting with the Lord and you offering this fresh and new, me offering this fresh and new to the Lord. But, you know, God puts us in body and relationship, and that's part of that submitting one to the other, submitting to your elders, you know, and just the benefits of walking in wise counsel and stuff like that. So while it's something that, you know, we submit our hearts, at the same point, we have this amazing thing called the body of Christ, and just this ability to bless and encourage each other and help each other in that path of walking these things out. So a lot of these testimonies I shared, and, you know, there was a lot of input from wise counsel along the way that helped. So I just